White, Edson. White, Emma. Salem, Oregon, June 14, 1880. Dear children, Edson and Emma, our meeting is nearly ended. We have labored hard, and we rejoice that some good has been done. But there needs much more to be done than has been done in order to bring the people who have been so neglected up in working order. June 16th. I was obliged to leave this letter to take the stand. Tuesday was the last day of the meeting, and it was desired I should speak in the evening for the last time. I was unable to sit up yesterday, for with much writing, reining myself up to meet different ones who put in requests for license, speaking in public, and showing the unfitness of different ones to attempt to teach others the truth, it was too much for my strength. I could not attend meetings or remain upon the ground. I stayed all alone in the good home of Sister Donaldson. Last night, weak and trembling, I took the stand. But oh, what a solemn sense of the condition of the people and their unprepared state for the judgment. Revelation 7, commencing with verse 9 to the close of the chapter. I here brought in genuine sanctification and the spurious article which is so common. I had a sweet, solemn power upon me. The tent was full, and I never realized a more solemn power pervading the entire congregation. Felt sensibly the Spirit of the Lord resting upon me, and I knew it rested upon the people. I had spoken once upon the sin of intemperance, and the Methodists sent in a request for me to speak upon that subject in their church. I could not comply with the request because we should leave so soon as this morning. Elder S. N. Haskell has gone that he might have a chance to purchase tickets. We were to follow on the noon train. But now there comes in an appeal from outsiders, prominent men, for us to remain over another week. I am disappointed not to go, but there is much work left in an unsettled condition, and my daughter Mary White and I consent to stay. We have had no opportunity to consult with Elder Haskell, for he is on his way to Portland and will go at once to Oakland. But this will make no difference. If it seems duty to stay, we shall do so, and I hardly dare go now. Our meetings have created great interest. The prejudice is removed, and now we can do something, we think, for our people who have been sadly neglected as well as for outsiders. It is impossible for me to describe the burden which I have borne upon my soul in Oregon and Washington Territory. I have spoken already about 26 times on this coast and have written a great number of pages. I have labored most earnestly for individuals and prayed with them and for them. I can say I am convinced it was my duty to visit this coast at this time. The Lord gave me a testimony that the people needed. Elder I. D. Van Horn is shaking off his stupor, and his testimony has the right ring. He remains president of the conference this side of the Cascades, Brother Colcord the other side of the Cascades. Brother Van Horn has been passing through an experience he has never had before, and he needed it. But he will come out, we believe, pure gold. There is not a more powerful, spiritual speaker than Brother Van Horn among us, if he is only connected with God. I have been at work for him continuously ever since I have been on the coast. I have given him no rest. I urged upon him again and again his sin, his great wrong in neglecting every branch of the work as he has done. He feels it now. He talks it freely. First, he would say nothing, did not seem to sense it, but he does see now. He does feel, and now he is putting on the gospel armor, harnessing himself for the battle. This church we want to see in a different situation before we leave. No one's testimony will do them that good that the testimony God has given me to bear to his people will do. I am astonished that the close, plain testimonies borne to our people by me seem to be the testimonies the outsiders feel the most deeply under and want more of the same. I cannot write much more. I am so very tired and nervous. I received a letter from Sister Baller stating that the little town of Savoy was visited with a storm, destroying the town almost completely. From 6 to 12 were killed and about 40 wounded. They said it was the most heart-sickening sight ever witnessed. Mother.